WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what's up, beautiful people? Happy Monday. Yes, it is Monday fun day. So much to talk about here on the show. Wow. What a weekend it was in sports, okay? Particularly here in Michigan, of course, Michigan and Michigan State getting it on at Spartan Stadium. The Spartans making it look like slight work, an easy win for them. But there was some drama, some added drama. I'm sure many of you know what that drama was. We're going to recap the game, dive into it, give you our thoughts, and open up our phone lines. We'll talk about that rivalry matchup on Saturday. Also, how about those Lions, huh? A game-winning field goal at the end of regulation out in London? Are you kidding me? Yes, the magic continues for the Honolulu Blue. We'll also talk about the Lions, bring you weekend winners, and even dive into the future of Kirk Cousins. All of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, before we dive into all of the highly debated and talked about action, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this October 27th. All right, folks, here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners to start your week on this Monday, October 27th. 19 local teams have made the high school football playoffs, 22 in total, I should say. Now, local matchups will include Williamston at Lansing, Sexton, Stockbridge at Olivet, and starting times and days will be decided and announced later on today. All right, the state semifinal soccer game between Mason and East Lansing will be played at Holt on Wednesday after the game was originally scheduled to be played at Plainville. Now, East Lansing is a defending Division II state champion. The teams met earlier this season with Mason winning the game 1-0. And after weeks of avoiding the issue, the Michigan football program has relented. Cornerback Jabril Peppers and linebacker Desmond Morgan are no longer listed on the depth chart after being on it most of the season. Now, both players are expected to be in the mix of starters this season. They both are injured. Peppers has a lower extremity injury, according to the Michigan radio, and Morgan has an arm injury. Now, because they played in fewer than three games and in the first half of the season, both are eligible for medical red shirts. On that same token, concerning the Michigan football team, yes, University of Michigan head football coach Brady Hoke has issued an apology in regards to the stake planting that took place before the game at Spartan Stadium on Saturday. Now, Hoke called it, quote, poor sportsmanship, and said, quote, as the leader of our football program, I take full responsibility for the actions of our team. We believe in displaying a high level of respect at the University of Michigan, and unfortunately, that was not reflected by this action prior to kickoff. Now, of course, Michigan State won the matchup 35-11 on Saturday, marking MSU's sixth victory over the state rival in the last seven meetings. Again, how about those Lions, folks? The Detroit Lions were able to erase a 21-point deficit to defeat the Atlanta Falcons in London yesterday. Now, with 4 seconds remaining, kicker Matt Prater converted his field goal of the day as time expired. Golden Tate had another strong game for the D, catching 7 balls for 151 yards and a touchdown. The Lions will have a bye week this week before they take on the Miami Dolphins at Ford Field on November 9th. The MSU men's soccer team tied Northwestern on Sunday 1-1. After a scoreless first half, Zach Carroll scored MSU's only goal of the day on a penalty kick. Now, the men's soccer team is 9-3-3, including a 3-1-2 record in conference play. The Spartans will travel to South Bend to take on the number one ranked Notre Dame Fighting Irish this Wednesday. And on that same note, the MSU women's soccer team dropped their matchup against Northwestern yesterday 2-0. Now, the Spartans were outshot 19-6 by the Wildcats. The women's soccer team's final game is Wednesday at Indiana. And how about Midnight Madness? It was certainly a fun time on Friday night. The Michigan State basketball team, they kicked off their season with the annual Midnight Madness. The MSU head men's coach, yes, Tom Izzo, dressed up as a member of KISS. Yes, the rock group, folks. While women's head coach Susie Merchant appeared as pop singer Beyonce. Yeah, you'll catch all of that. If you miss Midnight Madness, you'll catch all of that on WKR.org or on Current Sports TV this week. And to wrap up our Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, MSU junior cornerback Trey Wayans has been named one of 15 semifinalists for the Jim Thorpe Award, which honors the nation's top defensive back. Now, last season, if you remember Darquez Denard, a former Spartan who currently plays for the Cincinnati Bengals, he won the award. The three semifinals will be named on November 24th. All right, well, those are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on any of those, we'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527 is the number, 517-355-9527. Also, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin WKR or at the official Current Sports Twitter page of at WKAR_sports. Well, the rivalry matchup is now in the books, folks. Michigan State taking a 35-11 victory over the Michigan Wolverines at Spartan Stadium on Saturday. Now, this was a game that, let's be honest, well, in many regards, didn't surprise me, and I'm sure it didn't surprise many of you out there, but it was, some added controversy from this one that really no one knew, including us media members, until the post-game press conference. Here is my post-game report from that game. Michigan State defeats Michigan here at Spartan Stadium. The Spartans now taking 6 of the last 7 meetings between these two rivals. So is this really a surprise? Because when looking at the recent history between these two, coupled with the fact that Michigan has had quite the down season, the writing's been on the wall for quite some time.
We're all privileged. I'm privileged to be on a team who's done so well against Michigan these past couple of years, but we're not going to look at it any other way.
Personally, for me, I mean, I grew up a Michigan fan, so being now going, coming part of this program and seeing all the, and having the, being 6 out of 7, winning 6 out of 7. I mean, I think it's going to be a big game no matter what, no matter who's winning over and over again. It's still going to be a big game.
We honestly want to win every game, but this game just means a little bit more. It's more about bragging rights. It's more about who the state is for past Spartans, future Spartans.
Michigan State could have just run out the clock on its final drive of the game. Instead, it resulted in a 5-yard Jeremy Langford touchdown run. The reason behind punching it in had to do with a pregame antic by the Wolverines before kickoff, driving a tent stake into the grass at Spartan Stadium, a move seen as total disrespect from the eyes of the Spartans.
So you might as well just come out and say what you're feeling at some point in time, because I can only be diplomatic for so long. Okay? The little brother stuff, all the disrespect, it doesn't have to go in that direction. We've tried to handle ourselves with composure. That doesn't come from the coach. That comes from the program. And, throwing the stake down in our backyard out here and coming out there like they're all that.
You know, like I said, I kind of just laughed at it and be like, okay. I mean, the whole team, like, to them, it was more like adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely got us going on the sideline. I mean, we were all pretty angry about it.
I was going to line up and kick a field goal. That wasn't the MO. But if our guys could get it in, we were going to get it in. Just felt like we needed to put a stake in them at that point.
As the final minutes of this one wind it down, Michigan Athletic Director Dave Brandon took a seat next to me in the press conference room. After letting go a big sigh of breath, I turned and asked Dave how he was holding up. He just simply looked at me and said, "These ones are always tough. People can be so vicious sometimes." Well, if that doesn't put in perspective just how important this rivalry is on both sides, I don't know what will. I'm Al Martin here at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing for WKAR's Current Sports. Yeah, again, that's my post-game report, folks. If you want to see the visual of that report, it is actually posted on WKAR.org as we speak. Interesting stuff there, Alex, because, yeah, I mean, I had intern Kelsey, who's doing an outstanding job here. But anyway, Kelsey shot most of that game. And, you know, I was in the press conference room getting my report together, you know, jotting down some notes and questions, how I want to tack my stand-up and formulate the story, so on and so forth. And nobody's in the press conference room except me and the audio engineers. So, yeah, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I kid you not, I'm watching the game, you know, because they have multiple TVs plastered throughout the press conference room, and I'm watching the game, and I hear this big sigh just, and I turn to my left, and at first I had to do a double take because it's just Dave Brandon by himself just walked in the room, and he's watching the game right next to me. So I'm like, okay, this is Dave Brandon. I had met Dave, you know, this is a few years back, you know, just covering Michigan and the Michigan and Michigan State men's basketball game when I was a reporter for Channel 6. Very briefly in passing, just introduced myself. But I'm pretty sure he probably didn't even remember me. So I reintroduced myself. And again, yeah, I asked him. I said, hey, how you holding up, Dave? And that's exactly what he told me. He just kind of stared at me and said, you know, these ones are always tough. People can be so vicious sometimes. Of course, alluding to the criticism that has gone on throughout this entire year for the University of Michigan football program, the fire Brandon, you know, stakes that were, you know, countless, you know, as countless students on campus, you know, protesting for the firing of Dave Brandon. All of that has gone on. It's certainly weighing on the shoulders of Dave Brandon. A really, really interesting moment that I had with Dave in that press conference room. And then his family came in and they were watching the game as well, and yeah, you can better believe that they didn't have smiles on their faces during that moment. But man, oh man, this is a game that went from a storyline of course Michigan State trouncing on the Wolverines. And again, as I said, you know, there, folks, in my report, is this really a surprise to many of you out there? Because we talked about that game just about all week last week, previewing it and really diving into what we would think would happen on the gridiron at Spartan Stadium. And Michigan State was favored by many of you out there, even for a few of you who called it on the show, but favored by a lot in this game. Looking at how the season has gone for the Michigan Wolverines, such a roller coaster type of a year, losing left and right, the Shane Morris controversy, Michigan football is at a low point. And it was at a low point before the kickoff happened on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. On the contrast, a Michigan State team that has been a Big Ten contender for over a half a decade now, coming off a Rose Bowl championship, these teams certainly have such a contrast when it comes to the win column, so to speak. So it wasn't a surprise that Michigan State pulled out this win for me on Saturday. Now, what was a surprise is what happened after everything had happened in the game, after the dust had settled and the players walked into that press conference. As you just heard, Mark D'Antonio addressing the stake that was planted in the grass at Spartan Stadium by the Michigan Wolverines before kickoff. Now, to talk about how surprising this was for me and also other media members and for many of you out there who heard about this story, when the players walked in, Connor Cook, Jeremy Langford, Curtis Drummond, among two others, of course, many of the questions were about the rivalry. Well, is it a surprise to you guys now that you guys have beaten Michigan for the past 6 of 7 years? What went right for you guys out there? How does it feel? Yeah, it's a typical post-game questions. But it wasn't until Connor Cook was just talking about the game and the rivalry between Michigan and Michigan State. And he's sort of in passing, you know, just kind of just giving a cliche answer. It wasn't until he mentioned, yeah, and you guys know before the game, the stake that was planted in the grass. And it's so crazy because as soon as Connor Cook said that, a buzz kind of went across us media members who were at that press conference. We all kind of looked at each other like, did you see that? I don't know what he's talking about. What is he talking about? And we all seemed kind of dumbfounded. So after that happened, we of course poked the bear a little bit and said, Connor, can you elaborate? We didn't see any stake being planted in the grass by the Michigan football team. So Connor was like, yeah, you know, before the game, you know, they came out there and put the stake right in the grass, disrespecting us, quote unquote. That's the exact word that Connor Cook used. So then a story emerged within the story, and that became the story, the biggest story that was taken away from that Sunday, from Saturday's game, excuse me. So then in walks D'Antonio, and D'Antonio approaches the podium, and he starts to talk about how he feels about beating Michigan for another year, what went right out there on the field. And yes, of course, we had to ask D'Antonio about this. Now, at first, D'Antonio gave a cliche answer and said that, yeah, you know, that's a part of the rivalry, and went on that in that regard. But, you know, he was then to ask, you know, and to elaborate on it if it bothered him. The steak bothered him. And then, of course, you got the quote that was that you just heard in my report there. So, man, oh, man, I feel as though this story has really birthed and it really taken its own life, so to speak. And for me, you know, I've now bring Alex Sharg into this discussion. Now, we're, of course, going to get to the game, and then we encourage you all to call in and give your thoughts on anything that you want to is concerning the Michigan and Michigan State game that took place on Saturday, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. But, of course, we have to discuss the elephant in the room, that being what I'm calling steak hate. That's what I'm dubbing it as. A lot of people are calling it steak gate, but, you know, we use gate a lot all the time. But I'm calling it steak hate because, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, this is certainly a hated rivalry, or no matter what end of the spectrum you lie on. But, Alex, I asked you, I mean, what do you expect? Because there was really no surprise factor. I guess a surprise factor for me when hearing about this stake that was planted on the grass at Spartan Stadium, the only thing I was surprised at was that it was coming out at that moment. You know what I mean? I wasn't surprised that Michigan had done this because it is a rivalry. In any rivalry, especially one as heated as this one in the state of Michigan, you're going to have some antics, some off-the-field antics, some added spur, some added spice. So I wasn't surprised that Michigan did this, to be honest with you. But I was surprised at how late in the game that this story had come out. I mean, this is in the post-game presser that this had come out, and we knew nothing about it. But, I mean, what do you expect in a rivalry like this? Did it surprise you?
The stakes certainly came out late, Al. But what was most surprising was that the stake came out at the beginning of the game and not after the game, because look at past history. You've seen Michigan State plant the flag in Notre Dame in South Bend back when they couldn't get the trophy there on time. You know, that happened before. You saw Miami-Louisville. It's not the first time any plantings in stadiums and marking the territory has happened. Let's get that out there first. It's not like what Michigan did is so foreign, okay? So in their defense, I understand the statement that was made after the game, and that, you know, they're trying to motivate the team. They've been through some rough patches. I get that. But to do it before the game and not after.
But why would you do it after, though?
After, I mean, you would do it after if you win the game.
Yeah, that's if you, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Why would you do it before and then bear yourself the embarrassment, the non-humble embarrassment of lauding yourself out there and making yourself look dumb and just down in the dumps? And you could see the entire game. The team looked down in the dumps on the sidelines. The players were sitting down.
But this is the thing. Why do it at all, though? You know, I'm not shocked that they did do it, but why do this at all? And I think what a lot of people have a problem with this story is that, you know, looking at how bad Michigan has been this season, how terrible this season has gone so far, why in the world would you plant a stake in the house of the team that is ideally the Big Ten favorite? You have no reason to plant a stake in their field. You know what I mean? You have no clout, so to speak. You are not a good football team this year. So why do something like that?
I know. The team isn't good, and doing that didn't help. But I do see the side of it where you're trying to hype your team up. It's been an abysmal Brady Hoke farewell tour. Well, let's be honest here. And they had to do – I mean, I'm not saying that the stake was the best way to motivate them. I'm sure there were other ways aside from planting the stake.
Well, you know the story behind the stake. Looking at the story more.
I heard the story.
Yeah, it's about it's a tent stake, folks. For those that don't know the story, it's a tent stake. A tent stake, of course, is used to hold down a tent, hold down the fort, I guess you could say. And I guess looking at, you know, the analogy here, I'm guessing that the message was supposed to be to hold down the fort, take care of home territory. You're in the state of Michigan. And it was used as a symbol, a symbol to motivate U of M. I think it's a really cool story. I think that's a really cool motivational technique. But to take it as far as to bring the stake out and to make a public mockery of Michigan, or try to make a public mockery of the Michigan State football team and plant it on their grass in their backyard, as
Dan Antonio said. I don't know if it was making a public mockery.
Anytime you stake, you put something in the field, into the field of an opponent on the road, that's disrespect. It is disrespect.
Well, what about Michigan State? They put the flag in Notre Dame in South Bend years ago.
That's disrespect. I don't care where is it at. I don't care what team it is, where it occurs. Anytime an away team puts something on your field, yo, that's not flying. That is not flying, man. So I definitely feel where the players are coming from and feeling. I can see why D'Antonio was so upset about it. And, you know, quite frankly, I thought it was seeing as though that D'Antonio even addressed this in the post-game presser. Hey, I thought it was kind of cool. I thought it was one of those things where, you know, we hear, and this is from a journalist's perspective here. All the time we hear the cliche answers from coaches and players after games. You know, it all counts one. You know, we're just taking it one game at a time. You know, we did this and did that. You know, we hear the cliche answers all the time. I find it pretty cool from time to time. I'm going to use the word cool. I find it pretty cool and admirable when a coach kind of speaks out the box for a change and really speaks about what is on their mind. And D'Antonio, every once in a while, D'Antonio will do that. And he's done it multiple times throughout this Michigan and Michigan State rivalry because it means so much to him. So this is a situation that rubbed him the wrong way, and he gave an honest, from-the-heart answer. And you heard the prelude to it. D'Antonio said you can only be diplomatic for so long, end quote. You can only do it for so long. So when something like this happens, and the fact that D'Antonio did address it, it amplifies the magnitude of how important and just how much this rubbed the Michigan State football team that wrong. Folks, I want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls throughout this entire hour. We have a caller right now on line one. Rick from Grand Rapids, how you doing, my man? Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you. Well, the stake in our ground, we put a stake in their heart. What can I say?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
The reason I'm mainly calling is, said, I can't remember which one of you said something about planting a flag or planting our flag at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We did that because the year before they planted their flag in ours. So don't make it just sound like we just did that for no reason.
Right.
But
exactly.
I do not think that we will do anything like that at Ann Arbor, because why waste our time doing anything, little idiots? And I'll hang up. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks a lot, Rick. Yeah, and you brought that up, Alex, about, you know, planting the flag at Notre Dame. Exactly. That was in retaliation. You know what I mean? That was in retaliation to an incident that took place prior to this. So it's not like Michigan State struck first blood with that.
Now, the reason I bring that up, it's not to say Michigan State was in the wrong for doing that. It's saying that it's not like this hasn't been done before. It's not like this is some foreign thing that just had to get everybody up in arms. It's not like someone's going and rioting next door, okay?
Yeah,
this happens in stadiums all the time.
Yeah, it happens, but is it? But I guess the ideal question here is it right to do? No, it's never right to do. It's never right for an away opponent to come into somebody's home territory and stick something in the grass, or to do something like that, or to do an act like that. It's disrespect. You're disrespecting the home court, the home field, the home advantage. It's not right. It's not right to do. So I think that's what the dwindled down to get to the nitty gritty here. That's what the question is here. It wasn't right at all. Michigan shouldn't have done it. So, you know, and hey, it's a part of the rivalry. It's one of those things. Michigan and Michigan State, it adds to the story now. It adds to the chapter. I'm sure we're going to be bringing this up now for an entire year up until these teams, when they meet again next year in the next college football season. So, hey, just chalk this one up into another chapter for this rivalry. And, you know, hey, you know, class, yes. And all I say is class certainly goes out the window in many regards when talking about rivalries. class sometimes, you know, takes, you know, a back burner, so to speak. So there you have that. Now let's talk about the game. Can we talk about the game a little bit?
We can talk about the game, but
go ahead, Adam.
I'd like to talk about the whole little brother saga.
Oh, we got to go back to that, man?
I mean,
we really going there?
But that's the thing. I mean, this game, Al, it's not just the fact that Michigan State won, okay? This is to the point where University of Michigan football is at the lowest point ever. D'Antonio said it years ago. It all started from the little brother comments. He wasn't done yet. So now you're going 3-4 years in a row. Michigan State getting less points every year. They're dominating. And whatever you want to call them, little cousin, little tyke, I don't know what it is, but that stereotype still exists today. It's true.
You're going to hear it. And I do agree with that to a certain extent, because for me, I felt even if steak hate didn't happen, I still feel as though, even talking with, you know, different media members in the post-game presser and so on and so forth, I still felt as though that the storyline would have been, and still is to some degree, how Michigan State lost rather than how they won. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Or how Michigan lost the game as opposed to how Michigan State won the game, you know? And, you know, and that has a lot of dynamics to do with the fact that, yes, Michigan is still the winningest college football program in the history of college football. It still has such a storied history to it, which is why it's amplified times 20 times more when a season like this happens for them. They're not used to this. This isn't supposed to, you know, quote unquote, happen to Michigan. This is not what this program does. Losing is not a part of their culture. So when this happens, it certainly is going to get a lot of press and is going to supersede any other storyline that's taking place with this team. So, you know, and that's just how the cookie crumbles sometimes. And it was interesting because, you know, I don't know if you saw the Hoke presser, but, man, Drew Sharp and Brady Hoke got into it. I don't know if you saw that at all. But Drew Sharp, you know, asked Brady Hoke, you know, and he kind of just kind of put it in perspective like, man, this season has gone so bad for you guys and sort of harped on that a little bit before he asked his question. And Brady Hoke stopped him. He's like, yo, hold on. Stop right there. You know, our guys play their tails off. He didn't use the word tails, but they got into a little heated exchange. So, yeah, I think it's only a matter of time now. And like you said, Alex, before, this is Brady Hoke's final season. I don't know how this man can keep his job anymore. You cannot consistently, now back-to-back years, get trounced on the way you have in an in-state rivalry against Michigan State the way they have and keep your job. That is not flying in the world of Ann Arbor. And frankly, to be honest with you, Dave Brandon is also on the hot seat. Let's just call it like it is. So now let's talk about the game now, because, you know, I felt as though the game was pretty interesting from a few standpoints. Overall, starting on a positive note for me, Alex, I felt as though Michigan played an overall solid defensive game. I will say that. There were a few moments and a few drives within that game that were particularly impressive to me. And for those of you who don't know, Michigan actually, coming into that game, had the nation's, I believe, fourth-ranked rush defense. The fourth-ranked rush defense. So I find it, you know, it was an interesting matchup. This is one of the matchups I wanted to key on watching this game. It was Michigan State's offensive line versus Michigan's defensive line, which has been pretty, you know, stellar all year. Both of those dynamics have been stellar all year for both respective squads. But I tell you what, Michigan State's offensive line, they opened up a lot of holes and pushed back against Michigan and allowed Jeremy Langford to just kind of go bananas. Jeremy Langford, man, oh, man. I mean, he's arguably, you know, you can make a case with him and Amir Abdullah, but they can go back and forth. You can go back and forth with those two in this discussion. But, man, oh, man, Jeremy Langford's one of the best running backs in the Big Ten. Impressive. Impressive stuff. Got to give credit to that Michigan State offensive line and for Langford for doing work against, again, the nation's fourth-ranked rush defense coming in to Saturday. Now, overall, though, there were a few drives, and I want to point out, you know, one drive in which, if you remember, after, you know, Michigan had fumbled, and, you know, Devin Gardner, you know, he fumbled the snap. Well, Devin Gardner, he leads the nation, I tell you, in giveaways. My goodness. But he fumbled the snap, if you remember. Michigan State gets the ball back. Momentum is starting to shift. Michigan's defense holds MSU to a field goal attempt. And if you remember, Michael Geiger comes in and misses the field goal. Beautiful. There were multiple three and out drives that Michigan were able to salvage in the early parts of that game that was really impressive, I must say. Really impressive, especially against an offense that has been rolling like Michigan State's had been these past few weeks. Very impressive stuff. So, you know, I got to give hats off to the Michigan defense. The thing about the Michigan defense is, though, after they would make a three and out stop, you know, install a drive for Michigan State, they were right back on the field because that Michigan offense would go three and out right back. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. So you can't fault the Michigan defense for their performance on Saturday, I will say. I will say that. We have a caller right now on line one. Sean, how you doing? You're on Current Sports. Oh, John, I'm sorry. John, how you doing, John?
Real good, thanks. Hey, first thing I like to say is, you know, they've been getting a lot of heat. I thought the students showed up, cheered. They were great on Saturday. They were loud all through the game. And a question I have for you, fellas, I'm in my 60s, so I've been watching state games for a long time. Can you remember the last time you were at a Michigan-Michigan State game where you saw so few Michigan fans in the stadium? I was shocked
yes.
by that. And we sat by some Michigan fans who were really good sports about the whole thing. But I was shocked at the – it almost seemed like a lot of them resigned to what was going to happen. And I think you're absolutely right. I think there's going to be a coaching change down there and maybe a change in athletic director. I'll get off the air and get your take. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Hey, thanks a lot, John, for your call. I really appreciate that. You know, that is a great point that John brings up, Alice, because at that game – This was at halftime, right? You know, halftime happens, you know, everybody's trying to cool down. All his media members, you know, get a drink of water or something. I decided to go out on the field. I like, you know, I want to see how this crowd's looking. Let me go out there real quick. Go out, right, and look around. And I'm like, I couldn't believe how few Michigan fans there were. Like, I had to really, like, squint sometimes to see if I could find some sort of maize and blue in the crowd. And I was sitting there talking with a faux tie from Channel 10 and, you know, and one of the other media members, I believe from MLive, I believe it was. And we're sitting there chatting it up and like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe that, you know, Michigan really didn't show up to this game. Because in the crowd, I mean, my goodness, it was about, I would say, 85 to 90% Michigan State all the way. I mean, that's a very good point, John. That was very, very, very shocking to me. And maybe that's a telling sign that maybe the fans are starting to lose hope in this maize and blue program, because I've been to past Michigan and Michigan State games and covered them, and, you know, at least you see at least a 30 to 40% showing. I mean, my goodness, that was very, very shocking to me. Very shocking to me. And I don't know it's a telling sign as to where this program is right now, Alex.
Now, I've been alive since 1992, so do the math if you're
Oh, you're such a baby. No, I'm only 1990. So.
I've been alive since 1992. Now, I do agree where I have seen times where there haven't been a lot of state fans at Michigan Stadium out of the 110,000 at the Big House. A lack of state fans, but I don't think I've ever seen as less Michigan fans that there were on Saturday at Spartan Stadium. And I'm not talking, all right, you're not talking the away visiting section. You looked around. This is comparable to when Jacksonville State comes up, hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They're coming up across 10 states. They have their one slim section, and that's it. You're going, what, 90 miles to Ann Arbor? What's the distance? 80, 90 miles?
60.
60 miles?
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that you can't have more than one slim section aside from the away visiting section in the crowd. That was it. There were no yellows scattered around in the fans around the student section. There wasn't some brave soul out there. From University of Michigan.
There were a few.
Plot
just
said,
sprinkled, though. Just sprinkled. Like, there, real rare.
I don't even know about that, Al. I'd say very,
like
very rarely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like you said, there was no, like, section for U of M, all right? Yeah, it was very rare where you would see, like, a pack of 20
now,
in the stands.
No,
you know?
I had the game off. So I was sitting in the stands for the game. And I turn to my left, all green. There's one person not wearing green. He's wearing a yellow-blue jacket thingy. There's not one bit of Michigan
right
on the jacket. So even the people that were wearing blue and yellow, or blue and maize, excuse me, they weren't even wearing their own school name. So it's almost like the Michigan fans were so worried and closeted that they weren't even confident enough to wear their own colors.
Maybe. I think this is just a telling sign that maybe the fans are starting to lose hope as well. You know, it's gotten that bad. You know, because, yeah, it certainly was alarming to me. Hey, but going back to the game now, I definitely want to shout out, again, I thought the Michigan defense, I think they played a solid game. They could have played better, but they played a solid game. They gave the offense a chance. I will say that. But that offense is so bad. Devin Gardner, my goodness. I mean, he couldn't hold on to the football if you sewed it to his back. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many turnovers this man has. Right now, did you know he has 10 turnovers right now? He had 11 all of last year. He has 10 up to this point in this year, Alex. Unbelievable stuff. Now, credit to Michigan State defense, though. They were able to get pressure on Gardner. There was no surprise there. Narduzzi was able to get pressure on Gardner, forced him to make some sporadic decisions.
Yeah.
They sacked him twice. I think he went through, two interceptions. I mean, my goodness. Devin Gardner was bad.
One of them was Matt Ryan-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
From yesterday.
Exactly. It was bad.
Devin Gardner wasn't great.
He wasn't great at all.
But I'd say actually...
And what's up with him fumbling the snaps? Did you see him do that twice?
Yeah, but that's not new.
My goodness.
The worst part was that University of Michigan is typically known for breeding great wide receivers. The amount of drops, I think I counted in the first half, I think there were about 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. The amount of drops from the wide receivers were pitiful, Al. You're getting 2-3 drops from Devin Funchess, who's supposed to be the Braylon Edwards of this team. Where you lob the ball up in that 6-5 frame, he's going to come down with it over two guys, well, like you saw in previous games this year. So for him to drop the ball 2-3 times, you got Jay Huchesson dropping the ball a few times. You got the tight ends, A.J. Williams, dropping the ball. The amount of drops also were paralleled to Devin Garner's turnovers, okay? So as much as Devin Gardner wasn't playing great, I thought the wide receivers were worse.
They could have played better. I wouldn't say worse. I think you can't get much worse than how Devin Gardner played on Saturday, Alex. Devin Gardner was terrible on Saturday.
A lot of balls he gave
were. Did you see the play? This sort of puts everything in perspective for me. The last interception he threw, and he didn't really throw it. He got pressured, decides to just sort of get rid of the ball and just kind of pitches it in front of him. And an unbelievable, I forget who made the catch, but an unbelievable effort to make the catch.
R.J. Williamson.
Unbelievable effort from R.J. to get under the ball and for a turnover. But what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I mean, it just shows how what sort of mind state he was in. He was certainly in a panic mind state all game. He wasn't mentally ready for that game. The Michigan State offense as a whole wasn't ready for that game. We saw this coming, though. This wasn't a surprise to many of us. But yeah, I got to give a shout out to R.J. Williamson and Curtis Drummond, two guys who I thought had their best games all year. I thought those two played fantastic. Again, folks, we'll take your calls 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll talk some Lions and also get to some more of our callers. Call in, folks. We'll be right back.
Delay of game. Offense, 5-yard penalty.
So now a 48-yard field goal attempt to win it after the miss. So you back Prater up 5 yards. We'll watch the snap and the hold. Low again. And this one is good.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Oh, boy. Yes, the Lions' magic continues, folks. Again, that was a bite from yesterday's game. Yesterday morning's early game in London, Lions versus Falcons, Matthew Prater. He kicked the first field goal. It was off. But fortunately, there was a delay of game penalty that gave Lions fans and Lions personnel new life. It was like that missed field goal didn't even happen. And Prater puts it through the uprights to win the game on the second attempt. Gotta love that. How about that, folks? Again, folks, we're taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. I believe we have a caller right now on line two. Michael from Saginaw, how you doing, Mike?
How you doing there, Elmer? Let me comment on something before I get off into Michigan State and Detroit Lions here.
Yeah.
What I was reading on the internet is about Russell Wilson and all his teammates saying that he's not black enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, for people of color, we face microaggressions every day. And those dudes, they should know much better than that, because there's a movie y'all called Dear White People. They see that, see what he goes through, man. But that's all I got to say on that one.
Okay.
But I want to talk about Michigan and Michigan State.
What's that, Mike? I'm sorry. What'd you say?
I want to go through Michigan and Michigan State there. I want to comment that Michigan State is really doing a good job of developing their real skill players, man.
Right.
It's easy for them to recruit college kids out of high school.
Yeah.
And really just to put them there. And, but they're doing a great job developing their running backs, their wide receivers, and their defensive backs. And that's more important to a football team. Yeah, you can have offensive. Michigan got those same kind of skilled guys, but they don't develop them as well as Michigan State does.
No, Mike, I totally agree. And that's something I talked about with the Hulk era. For me, again, mm-hmm. and Alex and I have debated this countless times. For me, Michigan, of course, they have, you know, they always have some of the best recruits, you know, four-star guys, five-star guys each and every year. And it's a telling thing looking at where this program is right now. For me, anytime you have a season like this and your recruiting is off the charts, for me, it says that, okay, you are getting the big recruits, but are you developing them enough to become better once they come into a college campus? So I totally agree with in that area, Mike.
They're doing a great job developing that. What I like to talk about is, too, when the students got together and they started protesting, you notice how the student tickets went, the prices went down for the student tickets?
Yeah, but frankly, Mike, even before that, I mean, the student tickets, in the student section was still hurting even before that, even before the protest, though, Mike.
All right, then. I want to talk to you about the Lions, too. You know, the Lions are really doing something that winning teams are beginning to learn how to win now.
Right.
They really are. You know, there's games that other teams that you knew they was going to lose, but they're coming back. That goes to show you that I'm not going to put it all on the coaching staff. I'm going to put it on the character of the players. The players are really want to be able to play like a team. And, coaching got a lot to do with it, but still you got to have the right kind of people there.
Mm.
And that makes a difference. A lot of fans don't realize if you ain't got the quality of people there in the locker room, there's so many things in professional football. All these teams are scouted well. They got great coaches. And, mm-hmm. you know, like in certain places, like I could take this for example, a Lovie Smith type of coach down in Tampa Bay.
Right.
Now, he had so much success in Chicago, and all the people fussed about is the quarterback. Now Chicago's got a quarterback, but this guy, Jay Cutler, don't even have a passion, or it just seems like he's got all the talent in the world, but he just don't show out on game day. You know, you can look sharp and pretty in practice, but when you apply to game situations, that's when you really earn your money. So I just think, I think that all the Lions fans, they definitely deserve this. Thank you,
Al,
for taking my call.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. No, that's certainly true. I'm sure there were many Lions fans saying, finally, you know, and still are saying, finally, after a game, or I should say games, what has happened these past 2 weeks. My goodness, it's been certainly a positive roller coaster ride, I will say. All right, thanks a lot, Mike. We got another Mike, a Mike from Lansing. Mike, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. How about you?
Hey, pretty good. Hey, in that first half, that score should have been a lot worse than what it was. They had opportunities going in before halftime where they could have easily put up, I think, 49 points.
Yeah.
On the way Michigan was playing, so they ought to be thankful. And next year for Michigan, they're in serious trouble because I don't see a quarterback on that roster that's going to get that much better to make them that much more competitive.
Yeah.
Especially against Michigan State next year.
That's true because, I mean, yeah, Mike, I mean, if you look at it, I've always said, you know, Devin Gardner gives you the best chance at the quarterback position to win. Now, that's saying a lot, is it?
Yeah. And if you're counting on him, I mean, come on, this year,
right,
he's gotten worse. He hasn't gotten better, and that's on coaching there.
Yep. I agree.
With what they're paying the offensive coordinator, and he's supposed to be a quarterback coach, I can honestly say he didn't do a very good job of trying to. Unless he already knew there was no help ball, he's better at receiver, but that's all he got. I mean, that could be it too, but, man, that was – their quarterback situation is horrible.
It is. It
and
is.
That's being nice, you know.
Right. And that's, yeah, that's being very kind, Mike.
Yeah. And next year, unless that true freshman starts, and if you're going to throw a true freshman in the mix for them,
right,
then you're asking for a lot. I mean, a lot. And you know, let's face it. There's three games, what, Utah, Oregon State, BYU?
Yep.
They could lose all three.
They definitely could. I mean, and that's the thing we debated about, whether or not Michigan can even, you know, bowl for a bid right now. Get a bowl bid. I mean, because it's so bad. It's at the point now where you question if they can pull out any game at this point. The morale of this team, even looking at, you know, talking to some of the players after the game, some of the Michigan players after the game, I mean, they just seem so beaten, so disheartened right now. It's a bad situation all around, Mike.
Right.
It is. All right. Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for your call.
Yep, Mike.
All right, we've got another call on line two. Jim, how you doing? You're on Current Sports.
Thank you. I know you were probably watching the game. I was on television early. And when the MSU player got ejected for targeting in the first quarter or so.
Yeah, Chris Frey, yeah.
The camera followed him down. And, you know, to be ejected from the game, have to leave the stadium is pretty much an insult. And yet the young man was bouncing up and trying to lead cheers and everything. Quite frankly, it left me feeling a little I was really uncomfortable with that. I was just curious whether you saw the TV coverage or somebody else saw TV coverage and how that captured his response to being ejected from the stadium. I don't know the law, the rule, and when a player gets ejected and for that kind of targeting and everything, but it seemed like that was a pretty bad scene. I'll hang up.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jim, for the call. And, yeah, I was actually watching the coverage of ESPN when that happened. And first off, I want to say that I don't know if you agree, Alex, but I do agree that, yes, that was targeting on Chris Frey. I do agree that it was targeting. I think he should have been thrown out. I will say that.
The ruling on it is that the targeting rule has evolved so much over time. And if you look at that play 3 or 4 years ago, it probably would not have been targeting. So I kind of feel, I mean, it's a rivalry.
But the way
game.
The rule is now, I mean, he clearly led with his head. Anytime you lead with your head in today's game, you are going to get flagged. And in college football, you're going to get thrown out. So, yes, I do agree that Chris should have been ejected. He was. Now, as to address Jim's point about how it was covered on TV, once Chris decided to approach the sidelines, you know, slap some high fives, rile up the crowd, and exit the field, I don't think it was portrayed negatively by the broadcasters. They just kind of showed Chris riled up and you know, fist pumping and, you know, getting some slaps by, you know, Kenny Mayne and so on and so forth. It wasn't portrayed negatively on TV. And for me, I mean, you know, it's one of those moments, if you're going to go out, you know, if something like that happens where you get ejected, you know, at least, you know, hey, go out and encourage your team to go out and finish the game. I think that's what more so he was trying to do there, saying, all right, guys, I'm leaving the game, but finish the job. I'm clapping for you. Let's go Spartans. It was that kind of thing. It wasn't a negative thing. So that's the way I perceived it, at least. Thanks a lot for your call, Jim. We have another caller right now. Tom from Lansing. How you doing, Tom? You're on Current Sports.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got two comments.
Good afternoon, my man.
The first comment has to do with the stake. Different teams do things to motivate themselves, but what made that really kind of dumb is to do it in front of the fans on the field and also in front of the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking it to a place where I don't think that you really want to go, because that's really insulting to both the fans and the opposing team. And it's before the game. So just from a practical standpoint, that's a can of worms you don't really want to open. If at the end of the game, if you're excited and you're doing stuff like that, I guess it might make a certain amount of sense. But before the game, really looks like a brain mistake.
Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah, and it's to do it in someone else's territory. That's the thing that really gets me there, Tom, because you're on the road and you decide to do something like this on someone else's field. I mean, yeah, they're going to look at it as disrespect at the end of the day.
Okay, the second point I want to make is an ongoing point that's really been bothering me,
mm-hmm.
And that has to do with us watching the Michigan State Wyoming game. They're broadcasting the game, and the broadcasters really, instead of talking about the game, they're saying, well, Michigan State really ought to be beating these guys they ought to score 70, because if they don't score 70, these guys in New York are going to look down at them. I'm watching the Nebraska game. Well, we really should have beat Nebraska by 30 or 40 points, because these guys in New York, when they're looking at the championship, it's going to degrade them. And I'm thinking, well, what about winning the division? What about winning the Big Ten championship and beating your rivals? Doesn't that mean anything? Have we got to the point where nothing is relevant except whether you're in this national championship that a bunch of guys decide? I mean, I think the emphasis on this national championship, no matter what game you're watching, Big Ten, ACC, Pac-10, whoever you're watching, it's all, if you're not in this Final Four, you basically ought to just hang up your hat and leave the field. And I think that is so disappointing.
Right.
Not only the way they have it set up, but the way they continually focus on it, particularly these other games where this Final Four hasn't even really been formulated. Right now, everybody's just guessing, and the focus half of a football game on something which may or may not happen really detracts from the on-field efforts, and I think it's something that's just gotten out of hand. My suggestion would be the same as what many other people have suggested. Make the league champions the automatic winners to this championship. That way, the championship means something. Right now, the championship doesn't mean anything. State can win the Big Ten, and if they don't go to the Final Four, well, they've had a failed season, and changes need to be made. And that's so disappointing. So appreciate you letting me vent. I'll hang up and take your responses off the air.
Thank you, Tom. And Tom, I agree with him 1,000% on that, Alex. It seems as though I cannot watch a college football game. I cannot watch a college football show. I cannot read a college football magazine or a college football article without reading who's going to be in the playoff. What chances does this team have to be in the playoff? Let's look at the Vegas odds. Who has the best chance in Vegas to make the playoff? Playoff, playoff, playoff. We talk about it every single week, every single day, every single hour. It gets annoying to me. And I do agree with Tom 100% that it is detracting from the college football fan perspective. It's detracting and not making it fun to watch, because the teams that don't have a chance, let's say you get that early win in the season to a bad team. Let's say you do get that etch on the record. Your season's totally done, out the water. Everything else after that doesn't matter. I totally agree with you, Tom. And it's something that, hey, the media has a lot to takes the blame a lot to it, too. Because we talk a lot about, we do talk about it here on Current Sports. We definitely talk about it and allude to it and say, who's our top, you know, four teams? Who's going to make the playoff? Who has the best chances? We really don't know right now. And yeah, we harp on it a little bit. It's become such a big story that the playoff is becoming bigger than the game.
Yeah, but that's what you get when you get four teams. I mean,
that's what you get.
Look
exactly.
At March
it
Madness.
Needs to change.
You have a round of 64.
Right.
Sure, there's bubble bracket busters, but that you still have the rivalries intact.
Yeah.
In a game like this, like our last caller said, yeah, it is a little bit of a demise. You are losing
it
a little
is.
Bit of the rivalry.
It's a turnoff.
Game.
It is a turnoff sometimes. You know,
but can you blame it though?
It's based on speculation, you know?
You can't blame
it. I knew it was coming. When they said four teams, we knew this was coming. We have Apache on line one. Apache, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, go green. Congratulations, guys. I still love my blue, but you guys are taking care of business, and you are all to be respected for that. Give the game back to the kids. You guys were disrespected, and you got your respect out on the field. That's between the players, and they resolve that. I remember when Oregon came to Michigan and took a sledgehammer and went out there and pounded on their logo in the middle of the field, and then they beat University of Michigan up. So they didn't get their respect. You got to get it out on the field. Everybody else needed to just stay out of it, man, because they got their respect. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody's taking it. Don't take it personal. That's smack talking, wolfing. It's beautiful. I love it. No big deal. You know, I even when I'm getting beat in a pickle game, I talk smack. You know, it makes the game funner. It makes it more competitive.
Yeah, I do too. And I feel you, Pacho. I'm the same way. I'm one of the biggest trash talkers you ever meet when I'm on the basketball court. And I agree. It adds to the rivalry. It adds another dimension to it. But from the perspective of the opponent, you know, and class and so on and so forth, you can see why Michigan State kind of looked at it as disrespect, though, right?
Yeah, and they got the respect. They got the respect. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They got their respect. They took care of business out on the field. I don't care what you say outside of that game. They got it out of respect. If you guys want to be in the Final Four, just keep winning, baby. You're going to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't care what them other people say. They all trying to make money. Like
right.
You guys.
Right. Let your game do the talking, right?
Right.
Hey, Apache, thanks a lot, my man. All right, we have David, our final caller of the day. How you doing, David? You're on Current Sports.
I'm doing well, Hal. How are you?
I'm doing well. Can't complain, my man.
Hey, I thought I'd call in and give a perspective from a Michigan fan.
Yeah.
Hey, it was it actually wasn't one of the worst weekends I've ever had, because going into it, it was just expected to get blown out.
And you did. So you saw it coming. You saw these stars aligning, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's to the point where even my MSU buddies, I mean, I was out tailgating with a bunch of guys. And they were all trying to console me and say, no, man, it's okay. It's a rivalry game. You never know what's going to happen. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Have you seen us play recently? We can't even block to save our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right, right. Exactly.
So it was an expected outcome, although a very disheartening outcome.
And as far as the Michigan fan perspective is concerned, I mean, Alex and I were powwowing just a minute ago about how surprised we were when we looked into the stands and saw just the lack of maize and blue that flickered around Spartan Stadium. I mean, what's up with that, my man?
You know, I was offered tickets and turned them down.
Did you?
I did. I did. It was, you know, a lot of Michigan fans they're still wanting to support the team, but there's just a lot of problems, a lot of issues with inside, not just the football program, but inside the athletic department itself that they're fed up with. And, want to see some changes from the top, and we'd like to go forward with someone that's going to take the talent that we have and do something with it.
Definitely, and I'm sure some big steps will be made after this season. Hey, David, thanks a lot for your call. Really appreciate it, my man.
No problem. Go Blue.
There you go. All right. Well, a lot of callers, folks. I want to give a special thanks to all of you who called in to weigh in on, of course, the Michigan State and Michigan rivalry. Alex, final thoughts on this discussion.
All I got to say, Al, is I think our last caller is right. There's a schism between its fans and the legacy of traditional Michigan football teams and what the current program is now. Fans can't decide whether to go between the you know, supporting the team just because it's Michigan, or is this a completely different direction? And I hate to make this day about how bad Michigan is, but at the end of the day, the Spartans did a good job. You've got to credit them.
Right. I mean, hey, it was a great game play by Michigan State. Michigan certainly has some things that need to be changed in the future. And, you know, I think it was great input by all our callers today to give a different perspective on things. So, again, I want to give a special thanks to all of you who called in, and for all of you who listened to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. I want to remind you all that Current Sports TV will be back at it. This time we're changing the time from Wednesday night at 6 p.m. to Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. That's right. I know it's bright and early. Many of you are probably at work and doing different things. But if you want to make that episode and happen to be free that morning, I'll be sitting down with sports columnist of the Lansing State Journal, Graham Couch. And you better believe we're going to be talking about what took place on Saturday on that episode. Sign up online for free at WKR.org to attend that episode. Again, Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. Take care. Have a fantastic start to your week. And be easy, people.